I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to It's Your Funeral, the podcast where we interview guests about the most important day of their afterlives. As ever, I'm here with my death partner, Sam Hammond, a.k.a. at Von Gruz. Sam, how are you? It's been around 3 minutes since we last recorded. Have you snuck off to a funeral in between?
Yeah. No, I haven't. I feel a lot better, actually, because I was hungover and anxious and upset before, but now you just gave me a beer and I feel good again.
That's exactly what It's Your Funeral is about. Beers and making people feel less like death. As ever, we want to hear from you guys at home about any weird, funny, interesting, strange anecdotes and stories about funerals or death. Have you been at a funeral where someone woke up? That's my dream email, if I'm totally honest, where they've been at a funeral, someone comes up from the grave, but we'll also accept smaller, less important stories. If you've got anything, it's email podit'syourfuneral@gmail.com. That's podit'syourfuneral@gmail.com. But most importantly, our guest today, singer, songwriter, and producer, Joe Dudridge. Joe, how are you?
Hello, I am well, thank you. I am not on death's door anymore after my pasta this afternoon. I think I've got a undiagnosed gluten intolerance, which causes me deep pain whenever I have any pasta or a pizza. So,
do you know what? Joking aside, and this hadn't crossed my mind before you just said about death's door, I've just remembered that you have at least, in my mind, two stories of having been at death's door. One, you only, I believe, have one lung from when you were very young. And two, I think you once told me a story about how you were in hospital and you had one of those things attached to your finger that takes your like heart rate or whatever, and it fell off and someone was in there and it looked like you died.
That is almost correct. I was in Australia when I was much younger and I got meningitis, and before they do a lumbar puncture, which is like a spinal tap, they've got all these things on your body, and I've got quite a hairy chest. Listeners won't be able to see that.
Bloody lad.
It's definitely there. But I had all the pads which measure your heart rate and all your vitals. Because I had such a hairy chest, the pads came off, but my mum and my girlfriend at the time were watching, and so they saw like the beefs stop.
You should have faked it.
Yeah, but it was horrible because I could see their faces and see them watching me die. Of course, I wasn't dying at that point, but it was very amusing because everyone rushed in because it was like,
Is that the? I think you told me about this and you said like, I think your mum was like, what can we do to like help you out? Do you feel okay? And you're like, I think I need a PlayStation.
Well, it was like, what do you want for your last, like your final rites? Is there anything you want? And it was actually my...
Wait, your mum actually asked that?
Yeah. I was very, is there anything that you want? Wow, anything so you need?
And
I was
like, you were going to die.
And because I was really like quite ill with meningitis, and My godfather was sticking around in Australia, so he was going to be able to come in and get me something. And I just whispered in his ear, I was like, can I have a PSP, please?
A PlayStation Portable. God, they were good.
Yeah, and then he got me it like a couple of days later and I was there, but I was too ill to play it. But when I got the plane home, I spent the entire time playing Championship Manager. Great. Instead of talking to my girlfriend.
Was it worth getting meningitis for?
Probably. Yeah. I don't know where that went, actually, which is a bit of a shame.
It's hard to see why you said my girlfriend of the time rather than my current girlfriend.
We stopped in Thailand for about half an hour to refuel, and I just went
to charge your batteries.
Went straight to the charger. Just charged it up. It's terrible, really.
Joe, obviously, well, I was going to say we're kind of coming to the end of lockdown, but I think we're about to head into another lockdown. We mentioned in your intro, you're a singer-songwriter. What have you been up to? Where can the audience hear your stuff?
Yeah, so I'm in a band called The Travelling Band, which I spent most of my 20s and 30s, well, some of my early 30s doing. And then I have a solo project called Later Youth, and I also play with an artist called Lissy. So you can find my music out there, and yeah, I'm out there and about doing my thing. But lockdown's been quite good for me in terms of creativity. I've spent a lot of time writing and practicing and doing a lot of the stuff that musicians who are on the road a lot don't get to do, just reading and having some space and time to reflect on what's going on, really. So I've enjoyed it from an artistic perspective, and obviously there's been natural frustrations for everyone, but I think a lot of musicians, apart from the money worry, have actually enjoyed the space, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to ask, obviously, this podcast, It's Your Funeral. Joe, what is your funeral experience? And take that question as you want to. It's quite a vague question.
It is. I mean, most of the funerals that I've been to have been family members, which are obviously for obvious reasons. They're obviously for obvious reasons. You can cut that out.
Sharp.
It's very sharp. I need more wine. Yeah, they're always quite somber, but also I find them quite uplifting at the same time. Everyone coming together. And you kind of realize family and friends, and you remember people, and then they often end up being enormous piss ups. And I think the British and Irish tend to do funerals the best because we're the best drinkers. So they often end in quite nice times where you see people, but they're also you know they're very morbid at the same time. My favorite funeral moment. It was my grandma, actually, which is, it was more her kind of dying wish to be buried on top of my grandfather. and her reasoning was that was how he liked it.
Really? True. Yeah,
that is very true.
That's fucking brilliant.
So my grandma is buried on top of my granddad. And I remember her saying it. She was like, that's how he used to like it. And then we went to the funeral and he had died before her. They were buried down in Sussex, and there it is. You know, they dig it all out, and Granddad's there. He's been there a few years, and then they lowered her in straight on top of him.
Did they like put her in the same coffin, or did they?
Not in the same coffin, no, just the coffin on top. Yeah.
That so when your granddad was buried, was it he had to be buried in a slightly deeper plot?
Exactly, they made room for her.
Absolute shaggers.
That to me is real love.
That.
Do you know what, Joe? Honestly, like as someone who, I've been accused of being a commitment phobe before. That to me is like one of the most romantic thing I've heard since, obviously watching Titanic when those that old couple die holding hands.
They were so in love, my grandparents, and when my grandfather died, it was terrible for her because her love was so enduring. And I think about my parents, if one of them went as well, I think it's a real struggle for the people who have been in love for so long. And when it never goes away, people die of a broken heart when they lose their lovers. And it kind of happened. My grandma didn't, in the end, didn't want to be there anymore. But she got her dying wish, which was to
mount your granddad in the grave.
That is one of the most amazing. I was talking about this with someone recently. I don't know if it was you, Sam, but someone said that actually it's men. If men's wives die first, men last a lot shorter time. So they're just like, fuck this.
Yeah.
When my nana died, my granddad, he said to me, when we were putting him in the grave, he said, I want to jump in after her. And that was really sad. But then he just sat there for like, he lived for a few years, but he gave up. He's just like, oh, I'm done. You know, can't be bothered.
Well, I think traditionally a lot of men just didn't know how to take care of themselves either, so they'd probably just die of malnutrition. Drinking whiskey in the corner.
I like the way that you said traditionally as if we're any different. So, Joe, this is obviously called It's Your Funeral. Have you given much thought to the vision or how your funeral will be, or you know, maybe you only have because we've asked you to appear on this?
No, I have thought about it before, and anyone with any kind of semblance of narcissistic tendencies,
which we all do,
artists, musicians, there's a level of that, But yeah, I always think of it in kind of slightly humorous senses. My family, on my dad's side, are Quakers, and Quaker funerals are quite mellow.
Lots of porridge.
Yeah, and I do like the idea of that, but it's probably a little too mellow for me. But I have imagined a kind of slightly, I'm not sure if this is just out of order, but like basically faking your own death, but knowing that you're going to die anyway. So you're going to die and you know. Mm. But then I want to fake my own death and then get everyone there and then do a spectacular death in front of everyone, but like almost like Tom Daly-esque. Dive into the casket as the death in front of everyone.
Hold on, so they think you're dead already.
Yeah, and then I reappear.
You reappear like immediately. Jesus.
Surprise!
Immediately, do like an incredible dive into the casket, and that's it.
Yeah. Do you guys at all have a vision from when you were young? I have a weird vision of going to theme parks, which I think I'm going to say Thought Park, but I don't think it was Thought Park. Maybe somewhere in America where they had people. Who would dive off like the most insanely high platforms into the most insanely small paddling pool. Yeah. Now, am I forgetting? Am I like making this up?
Don't do that up north. There's no way, you know.
That's the vision anyway that I have of your funeral.
Yeah, I just want it, even if it was, you know, you could, because that might just be too hard and too dark and maybe I wouldn't want to do it, but maybe you could, projection, you know, art is pretty good these days. You can project almost anything onto anything. Robbie Williams was playing on stage with what looked like Noel Fielding the other night.
He was projected as being a good singer the other day.
Yeah, no, but it's all right. You could probably do like an entire animation over whatever background you've got. Hologram of your own death.
Yeah. You know, what's the venue of this funeral then? You know, you've got to include, bear in mind, you've got to include projection, huge diving platform.
Well, this is it. And like, I think in... especially in COVID times, I think venues and getting together is quite difficult. And my brother got married the other day and he had a very modest, you know, civil wedding in a registry office and everyone had to space out. And it looked like Orwell's dystopian dream. It wasn't like the nicest venue for that. So I think I would want to go big. And I was thinking like maybe Sacra Familia in Barcelona. I don't know if that's doable.
Is that the big cathedral?
Yeah, Sagrada Familia. Yeah, it's
the one that's not finished.
The one that's not finished. Yeah. And it's the one it's amazing, basically. And I'm not a Catholic and they probably wouldn't accept me. And it's quite hard to get everyone over to Barcelona, but there's worse places to.
I got kicked out of there once when I was like 18 because I threw a paper airplane off the top. I was like on those little balconies at the top where you can walk around, and I loved this paper airplane off, and the security guard just was like, "You out,
really
get out."
There's worse things to do in churches than
probably like blinded an old lady when it landed.
There are lots of things that get said in this podcast that immediately I think, God, that's another podcast idea. Like, there are worse things to do in churches. The What Have You Done in Churches podcast.
God. I mean, I once actually did, and I'm not a Christian, but in my hometown village, they do midnight mass obviously every Christmas. Yeah. But I used to sing. I first learned to sing in this church when I was about four. But my family's never been, you know, religious, you know, C of E or anything. But one year I showed up and I was really pissed and everyone was going up to do like the body of Christ and stuff. And I remember just like kneeling down and the vicar just gave me this look like, you're not, you know, get the fuck out of here. You're not a believer. Because I just wanted the wine.
You're taking the piss out of religion.
Like Ribena.
No, like, you know, to be fair, I love all the songs. You know, when it comes to religion, the songs are great. So I think... You know, can you imagine the singing in the Sagrada Familia? Like all your friends, just get everyone there.
It's still a building site, though, isn't it? Really?
No, why? I think I think they reckon they're going to finish in about 34 years.
Do you know the stone that they're making comes from the quarry in the village I grew up in? Weirdly, it's like the best sandstone in the world.
No way.
Yeah, it all gets shipped from Brinscore, where I grew up.
Is that why it's taking so long?
Probably, yeah.
The workers are from there as
well. It's so amazing there. Have you ever been?
No, I haven't.
It's so good. Like, and I recommend anyone like do the tour, do it twice, and you learn everything about like Gaudi's approach, and the way like nature and faith come together, and it kind of makes sense of why he was so religious when you see the way he views nature and science in a kind of godly way. It just it blew me away. But you know, if they'd let me, I reckon that's a good place. Yeah.
It blew you away, but most importantly, you were thinking, this is where I want my funeral.
What tunes are you going to have on?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, if I could get all the musicians I've ever, ever worked with or, friends or whatever, I just fit them in there and everyone sing like a massive version of Helplessly Hoping. It's like,
not again.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of your songs, right?
No.
Joe and I used to be in a band together, and we used to hang around with a bunch of guys in different bands, and we had a little sort of crew in our early 20s. And yeah, we after parties used to always end up with like a 7-part harmony out of tune version of Helplessly Hoping.
Which is time. What, by who?
Crosby, Stills and Nash.
It's a beautiful, Crosby, Stills and Nash do an amazing version. The Staves do a great version.
We did a shit version.
We've done many shit versions of it. But I just think if you're going to go for it and get a venue that big, get everyone together, then just a mass choral kind of Carmina Burana version of Helplessly Hoping.
Great.
Joe, have you given any thought to at your funeral in the big Barcelona cathedral that I can't pronounce? Who's coming? Who's not coming? Is it literally open invite? Open invite, or are there people who have scorned you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really hold many grudges. There's probably two people in the entire world that I've actually fallen out with properly.
And you're doing their podcast.
Yeah.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I like to think that I don't have many, there's people out there who wish ill of me, but they're the kind of people that probably wouldn't show up to a funeral anyway. But
yeah, and have you given any thought to, in your coffin, you're in a coffin, what are you wearing? What are you dressing up as? Are you, are you going traditional? I assume, do you know what? I was about to say traditional, you're in a suit. I kind of assume that when men are in an open casket, they're always wearing a suit, but maybe they're not. I don't know.
I think open casket naked would be a good vibe. Just like maybe with those doctor's things on. And there could be like an installation where every now and then, it's still got the heart beating. And then every now and then one of the little things comes off my chest and then I die again.
I mean, obviously my
keep dying.
To be fair, actually, going a bit more morbid, my grandfather, my dad's dad, John, he had an open casket, and it was very odd because when the soul leaves the body, no one is there. And it's mad. Like, it's the only time I've ever really seen it, and it was it blew my mind, really, because you know what someone looks like when there's life in them, and when there's no life in someone's body, it's almost like that they aren't there anymore, and you can see it. And I think cultures that do it, I understand why they do, because it's part of the closure of realizing someone's gone. And I think when you don't have that,
I mean the open casket. Yeah. Of it, yeah.
Open casket. Yeah, there's closure for people. I'm not sure it's a bit bleak, but I do think it does allow people to get over stuff maybe a little bit quicker, possibly, reach that acceptance.
You're right. I've seen that in people who've died, and they're not there anymore at all, and it isn't them. The shell isn't them. So, yeah, maybe that works. I don't know.
We've discussed this before, but the only dead body I've ever seen is my grandpa's when he died in a care home, and at the wake of his funeral, his carer came round with a selfie she'd taken with his dead body, look how peaceful he looks.
you see those horrible things where people are like leaning around for a selfie at their nan's funeral. It's like, fuck's sake.
Loads of kids are doing TikTok videos at funerals, like singing and dancing. Like,
is that true?
Yeah, I've seen them.
I mean,
like with grandma dying in the background.
We deserve COVID for that.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I've never seen anyone's. But that's an interesting. Do you know what, Joe? You've put a genuine point on the open casket question that I've never really given much thought to before. For me, I just think, like, our last guest, we interviewed Lisa Morris just before, and she was like, she was hilarious. She's like, I want to have an open casket and be put in clown face just to make people laugh.
Very good.
And it's like, I could probably imagine myself thinking I'm funny enough to try and pull something off to make people laugh. But I guess, you know,
I do think humor at funerals is really important. And I don't really like those super dark, you know, a bit of that, you know, sadness is really good. But I think it has to be, people need to have a platform to be able to like open their hearts, talk about the person that's passed away. And that's always going to be sad. It's always going to be moving depending on what's happened in their life and, you know, maybe how they died. But there has to be humor, and there needs to be stories. There needs to be, there has to be that laughter. Otherwise, what's the point? Yeah. You're just getting people together to cry otherwise.
Yeah.
Or not cry. Like those North Korean, when the grand leader dies, or whatever he's called, uh-huh. And they're all there going, ah! And like it's like a culture of the more grief we show,
aren't they?
Of course they are. Yeah. It's bullshit. It's about, they are in culturally. You know, some countries, it's like you have to show.
You probably get shot
grief.
If you don't do it, though.
Yeah.
So. Whereas here, it's like, here you need to be stoic, you know, traditionally in Britain, you know, British funerals, you gotta.
Don't give a fuck.
Yeah. And then, like, maybe if you get one, like, slight tear just down the face, that's all right. Acceptable. Yeah. I want everyone to be weeping.
Yeah.
If you leave me something good in your will, I'll do a good sob.
Yeah, you gotta. Yeah. All right. Yeah. You can have my Bob Dylan records.
Oh, fine, yeah. Big cry.
Yeah.
But so it's interesting you have a strong view on how your funeral should be, but do you envisage yourself writing either in your will or elsewhere what you actually want, or do you think in reality you'll leave it to your nearest and dearest to decide?
This is a big question, and it's probably legally binding as well.
Yeah, that's why we went for it.
No, I think it's important to, to go with your heart with this stuff and make sure, you know, your nearest and dearest are taken care of. And then, I don't know, but almost it's an opportunity, I suppose, to think about the people that you care about and what actually they might quite like. You know, even splitting up your record collection, like I'd probably give all my drum and bass records to, the friends that I used to mix with, but I'm not planning on dying before any of them, to be honest.
But I guess with your funeral, though, particularly going into that question or thinking about that question that I pulled out my head, is like, it's a question of, is the funeral for you and your legacy, or is it for them and their closure?
I just got to be a bit, but I mean, I have to be, I don't really ever think about this, but which is why it has to be humorous, but. Mm. If you're going to do it and plan it, then I think you may as well plan it properly. But How much are we talking about for the Sagrada Familia? They're going to want at least 500 grand.
I think 500 grand money, Catholic. Seems
yeah, so I'm going to have to find
it. Rinse you.
I'm going to have to find a different venue, I think, in reality. But if like money, Parks. Money, what you say that? I'd fucking love to get
do
Wicker Man, but Centre Parks Wicker Man, and just kind of get burnt up in one of those lodges with the jacuzzi.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Launching the corpse down that rapids thing, and everyone's standing clapping.
I deserve to die at Centre Park. So I once did a shit in the mini golf there on a stag do. It was the worst thing I've ever done in my life.
I hate Centre Park.
How badly had you played that hole to do a shit there?
Yeah, I got frustrated at the 18th.
You do deserve to have your funeral at Centre Park as a result.
That'll probably cost more than Sagrada Familia. They're robbing bastards, aren't they, Centre Parks?
Yeah, it's expensive. It's like 3 grand for four days.
But we'll all do it. Joe, we have to talk about, dare I say it, the more important part of any funeral, which is the wake.
Yeah.
Now, we've talked a lot about this in this series. What or how or, you know, what do you envisage your wake looking like in terms of venue, in terms of, you know, is it a party? You know, what are you giving? What are you giving to us left behind, devastated Joe, to see off your body?
Well, I think basically getting everyone sat down almost like a venue and then just have my entire back catalogue being played.
I knew that was going to happen.
About for 10 hours. Just like, and then slowly but surely people start to leave.
Merch stall.
I'm not sure if it's as slowly as surely as you think, Joe.
Yeah, very, very quickly, halfway through the first album.
I wouldn't be surprised if you popped up out of the coffin to do a little song. Joe's any house party after a few beers. There's a guitar there. All
damn
of a sudden,
right.
Joe's doing a gig.
Damn right. Yeah, but he's a very talented man. I don't want the audience to think
very
that
talented.
It's out of place.
I am only kidding, but
it'd be funny.
Yeah, I quite like actually the wakes that I've been to have mm-hmm. always been they're kind of awkward affairs, but they're the best bit in reality, you know.
Why awkward? What makes you think of the awkwardness of them?
Well, I think often it depends if it's your close friend or family, then people it's people coming to say it's
for your loss,
etc. Yeah, that share their condolences with you or you don't. You know, it's just quite awkward socially, but then people start to warm up a bit, and then before you know it, without fail,
orgy.
It always ends in carnage. But I don't like the idea of a wake being miserable in any way.
My mate,
it needs to be crying, but there needs to be mainly joy, I think.
My mate Johnny, his dad died last year tragically, and at the funeral, he ended up shagging his sister's mate.
Oh, my God.
Did you change his name for this story, Sam?
No, but he won't care. He won't listen anyway. But yeah, he was at this girl he'd fancied since childhood. He was like his sister's best friend or something. Like, he was at the wake and he ended up chatting to her. And then they had sex in the toilet or something. It's like, oh, my. He's like, that's
what
my dad would
have wanted.
Yeah. What a monster.
Okay, and then so what are we talking about? Are we talking about, what do you think, like a pub or a you know, what kind of venue? And most importantly, we ask this a lot because it is important to people. What is the spread like? What is the spread at a Joe Dudridge
wake? Spread of corona.
Of corona. Well, assuming we all get corona there, the food spread, and is it a free bar, etc.?
I mean, if I leave enough behind, yeah, I'd like it to be a free bar. I think anyone would. And what kind of spread? Probably my own ribs, like marinated. What kind of food? I mean, people underrate Nando's, but I think that would be quite a good, you know.
No, I'm totally with you there. Like, I couldn't have nodded my head any harder there. Yeah. Nando's would be fucking everything. And I feel like it's interesting that you said it in that way, because to me, you said it as if you're like, oh, I feel like people will judge me on this. But meanwhile, most of the fucking funeral spreads are absolute shit sandwiches and whatever.
Yeah.
Not shit sandwiches, but bad sandwiches. But if if you were there and there was a table and Nando started coming up,
if Mr. I'd be Mrs. talking Nando's about that funeral came,
forever.
Yeah, exactly. If Mr. and Mrs. Nando's came along and you had a whole
from
spread
from Portugal.
All the sauces. I mean, it's all about the sauces anyway.
Course, yeah.
But I would insist on, you know, like free range organic chickens being involved.
I don't think Nando's do that.
They don't. I actually asked one of the assistant managers at Nando's once why they didn't. He didn't know.
Because it's cheaper to just get the.
Of course it fucking is. But it would make me feel so much better about having this filthy habit if they were at least free range.
But it's not stopping you, Joe. So
it's not stopping me. No.
Have you given any thought to your, either if you want one, and if so, what will be written on your headstone in the ground? And where will it be? Where do you want to be buried as well? Let's ask that while we're at it.
I'd like a statue which had my actual body inside of it. When I discovered that statues that don't actually have people inside of them, I was a bit upset.
Did you discover that?
When I was about six or something. I used to think that statues...
Is that because of Ghostbusters when like the crazy dogs at the end open up and it's actually it's Sigourney Weaver and... thingy inside and Rick Moranis inside it. Maybe that's why
maybe
thought
that is it.
It might have been
you
it.
Know, but yeah, exactly. When they all break out, but yeah, because I think, all right, Quakers don't tend to have marked graves, which is so. My grandfather was buried in a forest somewhere, and that was pretty cool.
No, that's true. My ex-girlfriend's mum was a Quaker, and she has a tree.
Yeah, and I really like that, and like obviously take everything I say with a pinch of salt because I'm just trying to find the humour in them. The morbidity, but if you're going to do it, I think if you're going to go into a coffin and then it gets buried and then you've got a gravestone, well, why not just have a statue of yourself with your body inside of it? Is that weird?
If the statue's concrete, will worms be able to get in it to eat it like it would be in the ground? Or does it just waste away and you'll still just be
bones? I'm assuming worms can swim upwards.
But into concrete?
No, it'd have to be like hollow concrete so your body can be in it.
Yeah, that's true. Anyone in construction? Can anyone help us out here with...
Well, you'd probably have to get your body like dipped into concrete.
All I'm saying is...
Maybe that could be the bottom of the pool that I dive into.
All I'm saying is, would your body be preserved for longer because you're in a concrete statue? That's all I'm asking. Then if you're just in a wooden casket in the floor, in which case for me, from what I've heard, you just get eaten by worms straight away.
Which, again, is probably the people who choose to get cremated aren't actually putting their body back into nature, which is a good reason not to do it. But
yeah,
if you get buried, then you probably should let worms eat you. And
are
then you
worms starving though? Are they probably all right, aren't they?
Yeah, but if you could become a courgette, that would be quite good. Knowing that you're gonna die and then you're in the ground and then. Someone's going to eat.
Hold on a minute. I've never given this any thought. When I'm eating vegetables, am I eating dead bodies?
Yeah. Potentially. If there was probably like 40 years later, once you'd you don't see courgettes in graveyards.
Do you know figs are full of wasps?
What?
Yeah, every fig has
every
a wasp.
Every fig's got wasps in it. Yeah, a female wasp climbs into the fig and she loses her wings on the way in. And it's like they've got like a symbiotic relationship where the wasp pollinates the fig. A fig is flower, really. It's not a fruit. And the wasp flies in and then it lays its eggs. It dies in there, the mother wasp. And then these little like larvae things climb out like the baby wasps off. And then the fig absorbs the mother wasp. So when you eat a fig, you're eating basically a wasp pie.
Bloody hell. Joe, we're in a new studio today. We haven't tried before. It's amazing, by the way. But we're slightly worried that the lights may turn out at the end. So we're going to ask you one last question. We ask everybody, how do you, Joe Duddridge, want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered as someone who dedicated their life to their passion and had a good time and supported and loved the people that were important to them, I guess.
Very worthy.
Lovely stuff.
Lovely. Very impressive. Once again, Joe, tell the audience where they can find your work, the Travelling Band and your
Later
solo
Youth.
Project, Later Youth.
Later Youth. And you can
Will
find
you be
me.
Gigging as then when life returns?
yeah, Life Returns. I am gigging this month, but you can edit this out if it doesn't work. But at the Bedford.
We're at the beginning of September. It probably won't come out before that, but at the moment we're at the beginning of September. Joe will be gigging, although we've just literally today heard that things are back to only hanging out with six people. So
you can hang out with six people in a pub watching music.
Yeah, because that makes perfect sense.
It makes absolutely no sense, but I will sing and spit on them when I do it.
So Later Youth on Instagram. Where
on Instagram, on Facebook. Yeah, just if you type in Later Youth and you'll probably find me.
Fantastic. Joe, thanks so much for coming on the show. You've been a brilliant guest. Please do subscribe to It's Your Funeral. Drop us a comment and a rating. And also, once again, send us any of your funny funeral / death / any stories. The email address is pod@itsyourfuneral@gmail.com and we'll read out the best stuff and get back in touch with you. Also, please do follow @VomCruise.
Don't bother doing that.
On Instagram. He's a very funny meme curator and writer. And have a listen to my other podcast, Almost Famous, all about getting inside the bubble of the weird world of fame and how it affects those who experience it. And we'll be back next time with another episode of It's Your Funeral. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.